Good morning. Well, our theme through the month of December has been why God became a man, and we're talking about the plan of salvation. If you remember the first message about the fall of man, God told the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Of course, Adam and Eve sinned. They disobeyed God, ate the fruit they weren't supposed to, the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, now they're like us. They know good and evil. And he drove them out of the garden so they couldn't eat off the tree of life, which is very sad because that was a tree they could eat from. It's like they had life and death here and they chose death. And man's been choosing that ever since. And it's recorded in Genesis 5 or 6. Then men began to call on the Lord. And the commentators say the language means try to get to God, to call on him. We know that, I believe, he instituted the blood sacrifice for the atonement because Abel offered sheep to the Lord, and it said the Lord counted that as righteousness. He gave a life. The wages of sin is death. That's the payday of sin. And when the enemy tripped man and woman up and they fell, I just love the fact that God already had a plan. Yeah. It didn't catch him off guard. I agree with C.S. Lewis. When I think about it, God knew what was going to happen, and he chose to go ahead and create man and woman anyway. If you believe he's all-knowing, he knew that he was going to create this couple. They were perfect. They were good. And we learned in the fall that Paul said sin and death came into the world because of one man. So I hear a lot of people blaming God sometimes for the way this world's going. People are just getting meaner and crazier. You know, I think a lot more people are arming themselves, to be honest with you. I've met people that they carry concealed weapon, and I really don't blame them. I've thought about it myself. But it's not God's fault that the world's like this. That's what, if you're talking to somebody and they say, how could your loving God create all this evil? And that's what some people believe, that God created it, but he didn't. It said everything he created was very good. But the potential for evil was there because he gave man and woman a choice. He gave them a will where they could choose what they were going to do. And they chose evil. And C.S. Lewis said, it's amazing God went ahead and did it anyway, knowing it was going to cost him something very dear to him in order to remedy that. And to bring us back into a relationship with him. That's what all this is about. We read about a man last week named Abraham. God told him to go to Canaan and wander around the tent. He said, I'm going to give you everywhere your feet tread. I'll give that land to you. But not to you, but to your descendants. And they didn't even have a kid. And God said, I'll give you a kid. It's 25 years before God gave him a kid. You know, we read things like that. We need to understand God does things in his time, not ours. 25 years to me is a long time, but to God it's nothing. He waited until Abraham and Sarai were unable to have children physically. And then guess what? They had one named Isaac. And God told Abraham, through Isaac, your seed will be called. And God told him to take Isaac up on a hill that he showed him, and he said, I want you to offer him there as a burnt offering. That's what we talked about last week. Abraham obeyed. And because he did that, the Lord said to him, by myself, I swear. And I told you in the book of Hebrews, it says we have assurance by two immutable things. God can't lie, and he swore by himself. You remember, he stopped Abraham from killing Isaac. Said he had the knife drawn to slaughter him, and the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, don't do that. God knows now that you fear him, that you'll obey him. And God said, by myself I swear, since you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Here was another promise. He said it would be the offspring of the woman. He told Abraham, there is a man coming out of your bloodline, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Praise God. Paul said God didn't say through your seeds or offsprings, plural. He said offspring, and that offspring is Christ. And Paul let us know that if you are a child of God through Jesus Christ, you are one of Abraham's offspring. And I'll give you a little look forward. If you read in Revelation, John the Apostle is in the throne room of heaven, and he said, I saw a multitude that no one could number. And they were waving palm branches, dressed in white, and they were praising God. And I said, I bet Daddy Abraham said, wow, look. He did what he said he was going to do. Well, there's a lot of debate in the churches, some churches, not all, but some churches. You know, I had a guy that came here for a while, and he got so mad at me at Sunday school. I was talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ can't be God and man. I said, sure he can. Well, who is he talking to when he's hanging on the cross? Was he talking to himself? I said, no, he was talking to his father. He got upset. And his wife said, I think we better just drop this conversation. I said, that's fine with me. I don't want to argue. I said, I'll come to your house Monday, and we'll sit down with the scriptures, and I'll show you. His wife said, no, that's not a good idea. Wow. That's why I've entitled this message, Why God Became a Man. Today we're going to talk about the promise fulfilled. Very familiar piece of scripture. Everybody's, if you've been in church very long, you probably hear this about every Christmas season. We're going to talk about the birth of Christ. Christ, you remember, means the anointed. That's not his last name. It's an office. Christos in the Greek means to be rubbed or smeared with oil, to be set aside for a purpose. And all the kings and priests were anointed by the holy oil. And that set them aside as God's men. And some of them received the Spirit, some didn't. But Jesus, Yeshua, the Hebrew, means God saves, or the Lord saves. So we're going to read this morning, we're going to read about the angel's conversation with Mary. It's in Luke chapter 1, verses 26, and I'll read through to 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Father, we come here this morning, and I humbly request, Lord, that I decrease that you might increase. Oh, my Father, I ask you to pour your Spirit out upon me in abundance to preach your word, which is true. We are here this morning, Lord, and we are truly humbled by the sacrifice that you gave that we might be reconciled to you. And it's all through Jesus, Lord. It's nothing that we do but to accept the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I thank you, you came to save sinners. And I, like Paul would say, of whom I am chief, that, Lord, I've been redeemed, I've been forgiven because of your blood. And I pray if anyone here this morning has never come and asked for that, that this will be the day of salvation. Strengthen us in our faith, Lord. This time of the year, depression is a problem among people, and even your people. And I pray we'll be encouraged and strengthened by these messages. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we see the promise fulfilled. God told the serpent, he said, the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, I'm quoting King James too, the offspring of the woman is going to crush your head. How would you like it if God said to you, this guy's going to crush your head? Well, don't you know that devil was looking for that kid? And God appears through the angel Gabriel to Mary, who they estimate would have been about 14 or 15. And that's not perverse, church. Back then, 50 was old. So when a woman got old enough that she could start having children, her goal was to be married and have a family. And Mary was engaged to a man named Joseph. I want to read Matthew's account to you briefly. Matthew focuses on Joseph. He mentions Mary. He mentions the fact that Mary was a virgin. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Matthew reiterates on that. Through the Holy Spirit. He said, I want that to be clear. He came through the Holy Spirit. Joseph was Jesus' stepdad. Okay? There were so many promises God was fulfilling in these passages here. So many. A virgin will conceive and bear a child. I was warned in Bible college that some seminaries teach now that Mary may not have really been a virgin. She's just a young unmarried woman. And I told my professor, the Bible I read said, you better be a virgin lady when you got married in the Jewish custom, because you could be stoned if you weren't. If your husband went to the priest and said, hey, on our wedding night, I found out she wasn't a virgin, they could kill you for that. Because they said, well, you played the whore. You brought shame on Israel. And they said, we're going to cleanse that. Joseph and Mary were engaged. They were married, but they hadn't come together to consummate the marriage yet. And what they did, the rabbi did a service, and you and the lady exchanged vows, you exchanged rings. I think they had a piece of cloth. I'm not sure what all they exchanged in the marriage, but the groom drank wine and the bride drank wine, and they swore that you're the only one for me, like we do kind of in marriage now, but it's not that intense. But once he was married, Joseph went home, and Mary went home with her mom. And Mary's dad, if she was alive, he'd say, now I want you to build a room on your house. Usually the groom lived with his parents. And you can't go get your bride till your daddy says the room's finished. But see, you're considered married, but you hadn't come together yet. So you're under this contract, this agreement. Can you imagine? You know, I didn't read it, but after Gabriel told her, you're going to be overshadowed by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and you will become pregnant. And she said, I'm the Lord's servant. Let his will be done. Do you know what kind of scandal she opened herself up for? Her reputation? You know how it is in little towns. Y'all that live here in Mansfield, you know how it is. Bad news travels real fast. And your bride comes to you and says, hey, don't get upset, but I'm pregnant. And it's by the Holy Ghost. I'm sure Joseph said, well, praise the Lord. You know, the part I read in Matthew, Joseph was thinking about divorcing Mary quietly. In other words, not bringing her out in public and saying, hey, she's already pregnant, because he didn't want anything to happen to her. Evidently, he loved her. The Bible said he was a righteous man before God. God wouldn't choose just anybody to raise his kid. But an angel come to him in a dream and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. He said, that baby in her, the Holy Spirit put in her. Well, why does the Holy Spirit have to be involved in this? Because he's a seed of the woman, not of man. Well, why? Well, I told you last week the scripture said no one is righteous, no, not one. God in Isaiah, he said, I looked over the whole earth and there was no one who could intercede. And I was appalled. God said nobody out of all the people I'd created, nobody was worthy to intercede on behalf of man. They were sinners. None of them's righteous. He said they're not doing what's right. They're doing everything that's wrong. And you see, God ordained that blood had to be shed for sin. And the lamb that was offered had to be spotless. It's in the book of Malachi, I think it is, that they're offering diseased animals to God. They're not giving him the best like they're supposed to. And God said, hey, take those animals and offer them to the king. He said, take them in there to your governor and say, here, I want to make a gift of this. Yeah, you could lose your head for something like that. And he said, you need to honor me by giving me of your best. Why? Because God was fixing to give his best. And Mary, bless her heart, I'm the servant of the Lord. I'll take this on, Lord, and I know people are going to talk. And when the angel talked to Joseph, that night, it said that night, he woke up and he took her. He went to her mom and dad's house and he said, hey, I'm ready. So they kissed Mary goodbye and sent her off. You know what the gossips of Nazareth were saying when Mary started showing? I remember when they got married and, they've been married 2 months and she looks like she's 3 months along. Got a wood colt here. It's what my grandparents used to call a wood colt. Illegitimate child. Did you know at one time when Jesus was preaching, the Jews literally called him a bastard? We heard about what happened in your hometown. Your mom and daddy wasn't married when you were born. That used to be a big deal in this country. I know bastard's considered a harsh word. Paul used it in the Greek. He said, if you claim to be a child of God and God doesn't discipline you, he said, you're a bastard. You're an illegitimate child. You're claiming something that isn't yours. Man, that's harsh. But Jesus wasn't a bastard. God was his father. Now, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but Islam will say Jesus can't be the son of God. Because God is one and he can't have a son. Judaism teaches that. Orthodox Judaism. No, our Messiah won't be God's son because you can't be God's son. What'd God say? This is my kid. My son. So see, he was born under the law just as the Jews were under the law. And he was the only one that kept it. Perfect, without sin. Why did God go so much trouble to redeem sinners? Because it was the only way he could do it. And it's amazing that Jesus is called the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world. Before he ever created this planet. Before he ever put a man on it. Before there were fish in the seas and animals walking on the ground and vegetation growing. God had already planned what he was going to do. Because, see, he had an enemy named Satan who was out there opposing him. In fact, the Bible says it was him who came to Eve as a serpent. Some think maybe the devil possessed the serpent. Maybe he took a form of a serpent. They're not sure. Some commentators said that word actually can mean an orangutan. And to them, it makes more sense that an orangutan, a monkey, come up and start talking to Eve. Yeah. I don't know. They said this in language. I just threw that in there to confuse you. you know, my gosh. Yeah. And they said, well, the orangutan basically does. You know, they drag their arms along the ground. I like snakes better because I feel better about killing them when I do. God don't like them, and I don't either. You know, my dad had a rule. If they're on the ground, they're a copperhead. If they're in the water, they're a cottonmouth. So you kill them. Now, I don't kill all snakes anymore. I'm getting too lazy. But here we see God intervening in the history of man from creation. He came in there and he said, Adam, who told you you was naked? He said, well, the woman you gave me. You know, I didn't ask for her. You gave her to me. Remember that, God. You gave her to me. I didn't ask you to make her. I was running around with this dog over here just having a blast, you know. And you gave me her. Yes, she's beautiful and I love her, but it's her fault, God. We've been doing that ever since, haven't we? Yeah. It's not my fault. I heard a comedian say, I'd like to see a killer go on one of them talk shows and say, oh, my mom and dad were great people. They raised me in a good house. I'm just a boogerhead, you know. I just decided to be a murderer. But that's not what happened. It's not my fault. I'm a product of my environment. I can understand that, but you still choose to do wrong. We sin because we choose to. We sin for pleasure. You know, it's what we want. In the garden, man exchanged gods. That's what he did. He said, I'm not going to obey the God that created me, my creator, my father. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we've been plagued with that ever since. We all, in our own egos, consider ourselves better than other people. And I'm the most important thing in this universe. And what I want, I'm going to do. Some people go to extremes with it, some don't. And God said, I got to correct this. I want men and women to be able to come to me and fellowship with me. But I can't do it until the price has been paid for sin. The wages of sin is death. It says in the scriptures, the animals of bull and goats could never take away sins. God never intended for the law of Moses to be intact through eternity. Paul said that was given to us to show us how exceeding sinful sin was. This whole time, God's plan is to redeem people. You remember, redeem means to buy you back. And a Hebrew man could sell himself as a slave to somebody he owed money to, and at the end of 7 years, the slave owner let him go. His debt was paid. Okay? Jesus in the Psalms said to the Father, my ears you have pierced. If a slave said, I love my master and I don't want to leave him, he took him to the city gate. He called some of the elders, and that guy told the elders, I want to be his slave for life. And then the master would take him and put his earlobe against the doorpost and drive an awl through it, punch a hole in his ear. And that marked him as a servant for life. And it's not like we picture slavery. He or she, they're not in chains. They're just an employee. And they're not going to work for anybody but this master. That's what they're saying. And Jesus in the Psalms through the Holy Spirit, David said, my ears you have opened. Jesus said, I ain't pierced one side, I'm piercing both sides. I am your servant forever. It says in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who even though he was equal with God, did not think equality something to be held on to. The Greek says clutched. It's not that he didn't have it. He considered that he had to let it go. How else could you nail God to a cross? How else could you spit in his face? The Bible says sin and death came into the world through a man. Righteousness had to come in through a man. Look at how just God is. Man messed it up. It's got to be a man to fix it. But it can't be just any man. It has to be my man. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Through Him all things were created, and without Him was not anything made that's been made. In verse 14 He says, and the Word became flesh. For grace and mercy came, or the law came through Moses, grace and mercy came through Jesus Christ. He said, no one has ever known God, but God, the one and only, who comes from His side, has made Him known. All the way back in the garden, He created people to have fellowship. He used to come down every day and talk with them. I can't imagine what that was like. Hey, God, look what I've been doing over here. Yeah, that looks pretty good, son. Oh, you're doing a good job. What happened when he sinned? He hid himself. He couldn't face him anymore. Paul said, spiritual things can't be received by people who don't have the Holy Spirit. They're foolishness to them. God's Spirit was in these people. When the flood of Noah came, God said, my Spirit will not always be in man. Because he is flesh, his days are 120 years. That's the last time God cut the lifespan down. I'd kind of like to live to be 120 if the Lord doesn't care. I don't know, I may not like it, but I think it'd be cool to go on the Today Show. When they say, how'd you get this old, God? You know, do you have any advice? Yeah, keep on breathing as long as you can. But see, we're walking dead men and walking dead women. Jesus said that. The hour is coming, is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear, that means those who listen, those who respond, they'll live. Praise God, I got a hold of that truth not long after I was saved. I said, wow, I was dead, now I'm alive. Alive to God. That's what He wants. So don't let somebody tell you, well, God can't have a son. Well, too late. And if they'll read the genealogy that Luke presents, Matthew just goes back to Abraham. Luke goes all the way to Adam in the genealogy. And when he gets to Adam, you know who what he calls him? The Son of God. It was the Son of God, Adam, who disobeyed and brought sin and death into the world. So it makes sense that it had to be a Son of God to remedy that. It's hard for me to get my mind around how much God loves me and you. How much He loves sinners. Because all the way in Genesis 6, it says men started calling on the Lord. They started inventing ways to get to God. And we still have that today in society. There's so many religions now, and they all claim that they're the truth. You know, we're going to worship God. And God said, there's only one way you can come to me, and that's through the blood that was shed by my son. That's the only sacrifice for sin I recognize. It's not good works. It's not good looks. Praise God. You know. John said that those who receive the gospel, the good news, have this to their credit. I'm paraphrasing it. They have set to their seal that God is true. So when you reject the gospel, you're calling God a liar. When you try to get to God any other way than through His Son, Jesus Christ, you're calling Him a liar. That's just cold, hard fact. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. And He come to this little Jewish girl, and He said, Mary, I'm going to impregnate you with my son. Yeah, you know, there's probably going to be rumors and gossip, but I'm asking you to do this. What a privilege that He chose her. She must have been quite a woman to raise God's baby. Joseph must have been quite a man. Joseph would be responsible for Jesus' education as his father, as his stepdad. Make sure he learned how to read that Torah, the law. Jesus went to bar mitzvah like any other Jewish young man when he's 13 years old. or 12, he got up and read from the Torah in the synagogue at Nazareth, and all the men clapped and danced and just had a big old party and said, "You're a man now." He went through life just like we have. The Bible says because the children are flesh and blood, he became flesh and blood too. He's been tempted every way you've been tempted, every way I've been tempted. He knows the pain of rejection. God wanted to experience our humanity. Job, in his grief, cried out to his friends, "Oh, that there were a daysman to put one hand on me and one hand on the Almighty and bring us together." A daysman is the equivalent in our day to an umpire. And a daysman could not be more for one party than he was the other. So Job said, "I wish there was an intercessor who could touch me and touch God and bring us together." We got him. Yeah, Jesus the Christ. Yeshua, the Lord saves. Yeshua Yamashiach. Jesus, the anointed. That's what it means. Yamashiach, Christ. Jesus the anointed. God saves the anointed. Anointed for what? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has sent me to preach good news to the poor, and release from prison from the captives, and the breaking off of chains, and to deliver you out of the darkness into the light." Praise God. Yeah. And I've heard people, "I didn't ask to be born." No, God gave you the privilege of being born and living a life on this earth. But you know what you need to recognize is it belongs to Him. Yeah. And He has arranged it. So, you know, God loved me when I was shooting up meth. I'm not saying He approved what I was doing. But the Bible said while I was His enemy, He sent His Son to die for me. The Bible says that Jesus now holds the keys of hell and death because of what He did, because He became one of us, and He died on that cross for our sins, and He was raised again, never to die again. And He's at the Father's right hand, and God said, "You sit here until I make all your enemies a footstool." And He's praying for us. When you get weak, I want to guarantee you something, assure you something, Jesus is praying for you. Yeah, that's what He said to Peter. He said, "Peter, I've prayed for you so your faith doesn't fail." Peter denied Him three times. And when He was resurrected from the dead, He told the women, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." Why did He do that? Because Peter wouldn't have come if Jesus hadn't gave that invitation. Peter said, "No, I'm not worthy. I denied Him. I've denied Jesus as a Christian. I've never denied Him with my lips, but I've sure denied Him by my actions. I've acted in ways that said, I really don't know Him." People are hung up to down, you know, no, it's not works. There's no works involved. I heard one minister online say, "Well, the book of James was written to Jews, so Christians can't claim any of that. James says that faith without works is dead." He was talking to the Jews. Well, yeah, but they were Christian Jews, you know. The Orthodox Jews, James wouldn't have wrote them about the Christ other than trying to bring Him over. He was talking to Jews that had converted to Christianity. I watched a documentary where they went into Israel and talked to people. "Who is Jesus?" One of them said, "Well, He was a Jew, but He converted to Christianity." I love that. I said, "No, He's the father of it. He's the one that got the whole thing going." And praise God, I don't have to earn my salvation. Jesus Christ loved me when everybody else gave up on me. He loved me. He drew me. And I reached that point in my life where I accepted it. I said, "I believe it. I really believe that You did die for my sins. And I'm asking You to forgive me and to come into my life. And You guide me for the rest of my days." And boy, what a trip it's been for the last 34 years. Wow. He set me free from drugs. He set me free from darkness. I have a light now. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my Lord. I have a light now I've never had. I have an understanding that it's all Him. Like Paul said, if there's anything good in my body, He put it there in my flesh. Yeah, amen. God said in the garden, He looked that old devil in the eye and He said, I got a plan, dude. You haven't upset the apple cart one bit. And don't you know when Mary had Jesus, we'll talk about that next week, wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and put Him in that old crib, that manger where the animals ate out of. God didn't come into the world through a king's household. He came in as a carpenter, a poor carpenter. Don't you know that old devil was standing there and he goes, there's the kid. That's the one. Gotta get rid of this guy. Why? Well, Satan hates our guts. We're made in the image of God. You ever see a young lady or a young man break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend and they tear the picture up? Oh, I hate them. Well, that's the image of that person. They can't tear the person up, but they can tear the image up, and we're made in God's image. And Satan tried to get to God, and that didn't work. Jesus said he fell to earth like lightning. Just pow. And now the Bible said he's full of rage because he knows he has a short time. So he's coming around trying to drag as many souls down with him to spend eternity with him. He will use any means of deception, flattery, anything he can to win us. And something I loved when I got saved, I happened to read where Paul said, God pulled me out of the kingdom of darkness and transplanted me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And Satan don't like that when he starts seeing his weeds getting pulled. Hey, somebody's jacking with my garden. And when he planted me, I'm not a weed anymore. Yeah, I'm bearing fruit. Because that's what he wants me to do. That's what he wants you to do. Where are you at this morning? Have you accepted God's offer? If you try to come to him through any other means than Jesus Christ, you're offending him. Yeah. I worked with someone and said, yeah, I got saved when I was 12. And they had drunken parties at their house. I mean, I called it the Freaker's Ball. And you know, Dr. Hook, you know what I'm talking about. And one day her and I were working together, and she knew I was a Christian and a minister, and she started talking about church. I said, how often do you go? Oh, about 3 times a year. But I'm saved. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I said, you're right. But if you're a Christian, you should want to be in church. Because God said, don't forsake the assembly. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Why? Because we live in a wicked old world. A God-hating world. And He loves the world in spite of the hatred they have for Him. My Bible says He's not willing that anyone should perish. And I got to be honest with you. It really bums me out when I hear people blaming God for all the evil in this world. He's done everything He can to get you and I out of this. You know, I'm a Christian, and I'm not from here anymore. I'm not. Always used to think, boy, I'd love to have some land, you know. My own little private corner of the world. And I got to thinking, I don't belong here. What do I need land for? God's going to burn it one of these days. But there's a new heaven and a new earth. And there won't be any sin there. There won't be any sickness there or death or trials or troubles. And we'll spend eternity honoring and worshiping the one who died for our sins and was raised again for our justification. You know, I got news for people that don't want to go to church. I don't like going to church, man. You know, I don't like the messages. I don't like all this singing and all this emotional. Then you don't want to go to heaven. I'll tell you that right now. You will not want to go to heaven. Because that's what it's going to be. Eternity of worship and admiration. Woo, I'm looking forward to that. Are y'all? Amen. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? I'm forgive me for using church terms. Have you surrendered your life to Him and said, I am a sinner, I do deserve death, but you're offering me mercy and life, and I'm asking you to give it to me through Jesus Christ? And God says, I'll take it. All I had to give Him when I came to Him was a broken life, in pieces, shattered. To God, it probably looked like a vessel that was just, in shards. And when I came to Him, I said, this is all I have. He said, I'll take it. And He started putting it back together, making a new vessel. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? I am so glad that there was a young lady named Mary 2,000 years ago who said, Lord, let your will be done. I'm so glad that there's a God who loves us, who created us, who says, you're worth something to me. And I'm going to give the life of my Son to buy you back. That's what redeem means, to buy back. If you was a slave, if your family had the money, they could buy you back. They call that the redemption price. And that's what God's done. We're slaves to sin and to ourselves. And He's got the redemptive money to buy us back. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. If you need to make that decision, once you come down, when they sing the song of invitation, we'll talk.
Father, we thank You for each and every person that came out to worship You today. And we thank You for Your word which came to us through Your servant Rick. And we pray that You would be with and comfort those who are fighting for our freedom so we can come and worship You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.